I'm glad to be here. What I'm about to read to you now is what is known as the Great Commissioning, where Jesus sends out the disciples. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Creator and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Amen. We would now be in an attitude of prayer. Spirit God, as we come here together as a community, we seek to feel and know your presence. As we continue throughout this service and listen to this sermon, help us to understand your will and know how to share it with all others. Amen. So if you haven't noticed from all three scripture passages that have been read and the title of my sermon in the bulletin, today we're talking about evangelism. From what I have been told, this community has noticed a need for relational evangelism and faith sharing. So I'm here to give my thoughts and suggestions on a topic that is often controversial and problematic. So now I want you to imagine, why is it that we have a problem with evangelism, with faith sharing? Start thinking. I have a feeling right now that there is an image coming to mind. The image is becoming more and more clear. And I have a feeling, and I'm going to take a guess, that this image is either of another never-ending fire that you're about to get thrown into, or the image is of a person telling you about that never-ending fire that you're about to get thrown into, if you don't accept their version of the good news of Jesus Christ and how and when he will return. Well, I have good news for you today. That doesn't have to be the only version of evangelism out there. Since some of you have not had the pleasure of experiencing an evangelist lately, I figured since I'm talking about faith sharing, I should share a little story of my own. This story takes place a few summers ago at my family home in Inverness. I was home from college, so of course I was spending quality time watching TV and not doing too much. And one particular day, I hear the doorbell ringing, which is odd because people don't normally come to our door. So I get off the couch, and I walk through the kitchen and into the entranceway, and I open the door. And when I opened the door, standing there were two women holding pamphlets. At first, I think that they're going to try and sell me something, so I just tell them my parents aren't home and they can, you know, go away. But no. They say hello, and I say hi back, and they begin to talk about Jesus. And asked me a few questions about, do I believe in Jesus and am I a Christian? And of course, my response is, yes, I'm a Methodist. Which, you know, right away set off a light in their head saying, oh, this one's going to be a hard one to save. So around this point in our conversation, one of the women pulls out a booklet and the title reads, Watchtower. And so I think, Jehovah Witness, this will be fun. She then proceeds to ask me what I think the end times and the apocalypse will look like. And before I could answer her, she shows me a picture of the end times, and in this picture, everybody was happy. There was no war or famine. The lion was laying down with the lamb. You know, the peaceable kingdom. And she said to me, is this the image of the end times you are used to seeing? And I said, no, but I agree with it. And then she talks some more about natural disasters, war, and signs of the end times, and all that fun stuff, and sooner or later, I just tell them I'll have to look at the pamphlet and thanks for stopping by. And so they left, and I thought I was in the clear. I dealt with it well. I was a good Midwesterner. I was polite and hospitable. I didn't defend them. But then again, I didn't know that they would be back the next week. And of course, when they came by again, I made the decision not to answer the door. Now, I'll tell you, I like the picture of the second coming of Christ. It was clearly aligned with the peaceful, righteous, socially just kingdom of God that we hear about in Isaiah. And their vision got me thinking. It reminded me of a sermon I once heard at an annual conference given by Reverend Danita Anderson. And one of the things that she mentioned was, even though we might disagree with Jehovah's Witnesses on their theology or their ways of evangelism, we have to give them credit, because they are answering God's call for evangelism, a call that all Christians have through the Great Commissioning and Pentecost. So why do you think that I did not open the door the second time around? I didn't open the door because the first time was awkward, because no matter how much they tried to get to know me and be nice to me, I knew that their motive was to save me. I'm glad that they are worried about my salvation, but I don't want the reason someone befriends me or talks to me is because they think I might not make the cut into heaven. The kind of evangelism that we are used to is so impersonal and often comes with a side of judgment, doesn't it? Now, luckily, the two women who I talked with left out the judgment part. Maybe that was for the next visit. So now I want to give you a quick visual of this judgment. The video segment that you're about to see is the ending credits of the documentary Jesus Camp. Now, I use this documentary in a workshop that I do on inclusive and relational evangelism. And in this segment, you're going to see something different. Instead of seeing adults engaging in evangelism, you're going to see youth. But I want you to focus on how they are evangelizing, because it could easily be adults doing this as well. And remember, all people are called into evangelism. Even youth. And don't forget, for the Jehovah's Witnesses example, women as well. So the focus is here on how they are doing it. It's just a little more striking that it's youth doing it. If you can begin the clip.
If you were to die right now, where do you think you would go?
Heaven.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Okay. I think they're a Muslim. Give this to you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, well. Oh, we know they could be Christians already, you know what I mean? Do you think people actually think we're trying to, like, sell something?
I bet you some of them do.
I mean, we're kids. What are we selling?
Whatever's in our hand.
God has been so good to you, you have to stand upon your feet and praise and magnify the Lord, because he's the one who's such a free praise.
Judgment is a problem with evangelism. And I'm not talking about God's judgment, the judgment that Christ talks about where God judges in the end. It's the evangelist's judgment that I'm worried about. Don't you just hate the feeling where when someone else is judging you? In Jesus Camp, we just saw youth judging the men they were evangelizing to. You can hear in the young girl's voice and what she says that she doesn't really believe that these men are going to heaven. Judgment can be painful, and more importantly, it's not holy. The scriptures make it very clear that as servants of God, we have not been given the authority to judge others. That's up to God. When Christ talks about God's judgment, he is being quite radical and subversive, because what he does is he takes away the power that people have over others when they judge each other, and he gives it back to God where it belongs. And that's a part of the good news. I don't have to worry about judging you, and you don't have to worry about judging me. Now, I know that that is difficult, to not judge others. People do and say ignorant, unjust, and just stupid things every day, and we want to judge them. But even though it is hard, think in terms of evangelism and what we just saw. If you are sharing your faith with another person, and they sense one little piece of judgment in your voice or in what you say, that person is not going to believe in your message. They will think you are just selling something phony and not worthwhile. Along with judgment comes assumptions and stereotypes about other people. We notice that the young girl assumed those men weren't going to heaven, and what was that she said? I think they're Muslim. She assumed that because they are different from her, they probably aren't Christian. Most evangelists are arrogant in assuming they know who is saved and who is not saved by God. And usually the people who are saved tend to look, act, and think like they do. When we assume things, when we stereotype others, we lead ourselves into judging them, into assuming we know what is right, and we just have to tell them that they are wrong. Or we act like good Methodists, and instead of judging them personally and directly, we'll just talk about them with everyone else in the room. In the picture of the kingdom of God that Jehovah Witnesses showed me, I don't think people were still running around judging and making assumptions about others. And there's one more thing that I personally dislike about evangelists, and in an indirect way, I've kind of been doing it ever since I got up here. I don't like that evangelists always tend to just tell you what not to do. Don't do this or you're going to hell. Don't do this or you might not be saved. So I have to leave you now each with something positive and something that you can actually do. Now, you're not going to hell if you don't do what I tell you to do, and that's the beauty of salvation through works and not salvation through faith and not works. But if you feel so called by the Spirit to share your faith, which I hope you do, then you have to break the stereotype of the evangelist. I know very few of you want to go out and start talking about the second coming of Christ and your views on salvation and hell, so then don't. But if you are going to share something, then what will you share? If someone asks you, why are you a Christian? I hope that your answer will not be, I was raised that way, or I go to church because my wife, partner, or husband make me. You do have to reflect upon your own faith and try to figure out why you believe what you believe, why you believe in Jesus Christ. And what I have for you now is what I believe is the best way to engage in evangelism. For me, it is something that is central to our faith as Christians and to me personally, and my relationship with God, and why I believe in the message of Christ. Instead of focusing on sharing the Word of God, focus on sharing the love of God. There is more to the Holy Spirit that moved within the disciples at Pentecost and is still with us today than words and speaking in tongues. Deciding how you want to share the love of God is almost more important in evangelism than speaking the gospel. So first, make sure that you are doing the best to care and love for those who you already know, whether they be your family members, friends, or people in the church. When Christ first called the disciples into ministry, he does not call them into a global ministry yet. He actually tells them to stay among the people Israel, stay among the Jews and evangelize. So make sure you're caring for those you already know, because when you enact the Great Commissioning and start sharing your faith and welcoming people who are different into the church, they're going to know right away if your family's friendships and the church that you are praising are truly caring and hospitable. The second suggestion is, once you go beyond those who you already know, obviously don't judge, don't assume, but more importantly, find a way to truly care for those that you meet. I remember during Sunday school here at Our Redeemers learning a pretty important hymn. And you all know how it goes, and you can help me out with it. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is the
people.
If the church is a people, then that means that the church can be brought to others, since it's just people, right? And people can actually move outside the church walls, right? When you bring the church to people, when you bring people to people, that kind of changes things. What's nice about it is you no longer are confined by such rules as, well, this is how we always do things around here, or this is how we do church. A church that shares the love of God outside its own walls no longer has to worry about how many seats to get filled on Sunday. Instead, the church gets to focus on how many relationships they have built with others by meeting the spiritual, emotional, physical needs of those people. Your priorities shift. The best way to do relational evangelism is to let others know that both God and you care about them, that you are listening to them, and that you are here to serve them. It's a lot harder for someone to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ that talks about feeding the hungry, caring for the outcast and marginalized, creating a peaceable kingdom when they are hungry, feel alone, and can't imagine what the kingdom of God will truly look like. Evangelism is not truly holy unless it cares for the whole person, unless it goes beyond everyone's need to hear the gospel. and actually meets the individual's need to see, feel, and experience the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus almost always accompanied his message of eternal peace and life with acts of peace, acts of healing, acts of social justice and compassion. To truly evangelize, you have to be the gospel for all people. Amen.